Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, good news today. Happy news. Got the bipartisan infrastructure bill signed. Good news. And Steve Bannon went to court today, turned himself in for the contempt of Congress charges on both his failure to appear and his failure to turn over documents. I was hoping they'd keep him. The guy from Philadelphia who spent 500 days waiting for a trial because he stole 3 peppermint patties. I was hoping Bannon might be right next to him, but no, he'll be able to go home and wait his trial. I'm here to share some thoughts on, will the Democrats be sorry, as Republicans have said? And as Steve Bannon said, did they pick on the right guy? Well, that's why I've asked Chris Hahn to come talk with us. Chris is a syndicated radio host and host of the Aggressive Progressive podcast. Chris, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. Thanks. Always great to be with you.
So Democrats are going to be sorry. You'll be sorry you did this.
Well, what was getting me all day, Rick, and I tweeted about this, who is he asking to stand by? Right? That's the same words Trump used, stand back and stand by. And then on January 6th, all those people who were standing by came out. So, I hate the hollow threats. I think that Steve Bannon's liking this. This is right up his alley. He wants to be a martyr. I don't think he's afraid to go to prison, although they'll only let you have one shirt in prison. I don't know if you've noticed, this man likes to wear multiple shirts. I mean, Rick, I don't know when that was ever a style. I'm not much younger than the guy. So I kind of remember the 80s. I think people might have wore 2 shirts in the 80s. This guy wears like 5 shirts.
He's got money.
Rick. He's got money. He's not spending it on clothes. He's wearing like 5 shirts you get, like, you find on the street that somebody was running a marathon and they threw it off because they were getting too hot.
So, but I look at this and I'm going, I'm happy we're in this position. I'm happy finally that the Justice Department did something, because for me, everything hinges around, do you get him in the seat to testify? And I want to see that. I think everybody wants to see that. And to be honest, there's part of me that thinks he wants to be in that seat. He wants to take them on.
Oh, I think he loves the stage, loves the drama, but I do think that he'll go to prison first. I do. I think he's going to go to prison and see if he could wait it out. But we'll see. The judges, the ruling, the complaint was pretty clear. It's not just that you didn't show up. It's that, you're claiming privilege for everything, and you can't really do that. You have to be very specific about executive privilege. And just because he wasn't a White House staffer doesn't mean privilege doesn't necessarily apply. But it probably doesn't apply here, because they weren't really talking about anything of national security interest. They were talking about the president's own political interest. And quite frankly, criminal conspiracies are never covered by these types of privileges.
Right. The thing that's interesting to me is the more we're finding out of what we already knew, the more we're finding more documents of stuff that we already assumed to be true in the past. It's actually even worse than I had thought. I look at Mike Pence and the pressure that was put on him, and the fact that his access cards weren't working the day of January 6th, which leads me to believe maybe they wanted him to get hung. Or am I just being crazy here?
I don't think you're being crazy. I think there are people who wanted Mike Pence to get hung. I think there are people that wanted his staffers nowhere near the White House to come complain to them that Mike Pence was about to get hung or killed, or he was being captured by, the QAnon shaman or somebody else. Look, what happened on January 6th was the worst day in the history of this country since the attack on Appomattox. Since the treaty at Appomattox. The attack was on Fort Sumter. I'm getting my history, but it's late for me, man. I know it's Central Time Zone for you. It's like 9:45 here in New York, and I've been up. I got a puppy. She gets up at like 6 o'clock in the morning. It is a bad thing, and I don't think enough attention is being paid to it. I don't think any consequences of any severity have been handed out to anybody who instigated this. And that's really what has to happen here. I'm all for these people who stormed the Capitol doing some time in jail. But the real criminals here are the Steve Bannons of the world, are the Donald Trumps of the world, are, the Mark Meadows of the world who are covering this up, are, the Eastmans who are writing these memos. These things need to be vetted by this Congress. And they're running out of time, frankly. They are losing control of the House of Representatives in a very short period of time.
No, I agree. And they've already lost the narrative. I mean, this is the problem. I thought it took way too long to get to this point. Steve Bannon should have been arrested for contempt months ago because, like you said, there's only so much time.
They should have used their inherent contempt power in Congress, and they should have locked them up in the basement of the Capitol. There's a jail in the basement of the Capitol for just this purposes. It has been used before by Congress. It would not be unprecedented. They should send out the sergeant of arms and put these guys in cuffs and sit them in the jail in the basement of the Capitol till they're ready to talk.
Yeah, and now you see the chairman of the Proud Boys group, which I find just hysterical. Yeah. This Henry Enrique Tarrio, I guess his name is, who's complaining he wants to get out of jail early or do his the rest of his time at home because, well, what was the word he used? He's been exposed to cruel jail conditions.
He's not so proud now, is he? Huh? I mean, that's the question of this guy. I would ask him, look, poor little baby, you know, whiny little baby can't do. Look, you do the crime, you're going to do the time. That's the way it goes in America. That's justice. And I hope that he's laughed out of court with this request. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I hope so, too. And all of them, you know, to listen to the whining and the complaining. What did you think jail was going to be like? What were you thinking when you stormed the Capitol and smashed doors and windows and defecated on the floor and urinated on desks and stole laptops and did all and beat up policemen and all of this stuff? What did you think was going to happen?
They're not getting punished enough.
No,
these penalties are like, especially this guy, you know, his term's about a year. No,
5 months,
been 10 years. Yeah, it should have been 5 years, 10 years. This was an attempt to overthrow the United States of America. And he was one of the leaders of it. He should be in jail for many, many years. He's going to get out and he's just going to be more radicalized when he gets out.
So, but here's the question, you know, how did Democrats lose the narrative on this? Because people that I'm talking to, it was a patriotic day. It was a day like none other. They were peaceful. It was a patriotic day of America loving people.
Let me tell you something. I was on the air that night on Fox News, and I was on some other channel that night. And I said, they need to come back. They need to finish the count of the Electoral College. And then they need to impeach Donald Trump tonight. Don't wait 2 weeks. Do it tonight while everybody's pissed, while everybody sees it. Impeach him tonight. And they didn't do that.
Yep.
Right? They waited 2 weeks. And by then, everybody heard from their constituents who, you know, if you're from a deep red district, which most of them are, you heard, don't you do anything to Donald Trump. It's not his fault. And they lost the narrative. The Democrats are very bad at framing issues. Republicans are great at it. Let's face it, they're better at it because they're willing to lie. And Democrats want to get into nuanced arguments about the facts. I'm sorry. We got to stop here. Democracy is on the line. We've got to get better at messaging. We've got to stop with this nuanced argument, start talking about perception here. We lost it. Look, we lost Virginia on a lie. Critical race theory was not being taught in Virginia. Democrats should have shot back saying, these guys don't want your kids to learn history. They don't want your kids to learn history. They want them to be beat by China because they want to screw up their education. Instead we try to go, wait, critical race theory is taught at like four law schools in America.
But here's the thing, Chris. How do you get that message to those people? I've been saying for the longest time that the right in this country has built a media empire almost second to none because you can't reach those folks anymore. They're in their hive, and that's just how it is at this moment.
Glenn Youngkin wasn't only winning on conservative media. Glenn Youngkin got housewives to switch from voting for Biden to vote, not housewives, but women ages between 18 and 42 who dramatically switched their votes to him from Biden. People who voted for Biden just a year ago were voting for Youngkin. Now, I'm sorry, that wasn't a good thing. And they weren't getting that from Fox News. They weren't getting that from Newsmax or
they were getting it from every Facebook group they could come across who their babies were being attacked by that theory of critical something or other.
He ran a campaign where he talked about parents' choice to those women and he won them all. He didn't win them all over, but he won enough of them so that he would swing the election in his direction. And the Democrats were trying to do a nuanced argument to these women about what was really going on, and it wasn't working. And, you know, we've got to understand something here. They are better at the non-nuance. Fear is a is look, fear is the number one motivator in politics.
Yep.
And if this guy gets you scared that your kids are going to come home brainwashed, thinking that they're no good because of the color of their skin, well, that's a powerful motivator in politics. And we've got to combat that with something else besides just here are the 27 facts that he's got wrong. We've got to have a very quick elevator message about why he's wrong and why it's worse what he's doing.
No, absolutely. You're right. And look, and that's something that is going to have to be worked on. I want to switch gears real quick. The jury is getting the Rittenhouse trial, which has been all the rage here. We didn't hear much about the Arbery trial down in Georgia, but the mama's boy with the AR-15 seems to be all of the rage. I wanted to get your thoughts.
Well, in Georgia, they're going to be found guilty. I'm pretty sure, but I watched enough of the trial to think that. I think Kyle Rittenhouse is not going to be convicted of the most severe charge of intentional homicide. I do think he is going to get convicted of reckless homicide, which is a lesser offense. But I do think that the way I see it, you know, had he not gone into that crowd and pointed his gun at somebody, those people would still be alive. And, you know, he instigated the attack. I don't think he walked into that crowd intending to kill somebody based on the testimony I saw. At least it wasn't proven by the prosecutors, in my opinion. But I do think when you walk into that crowd and you point a gun at somebody and they react and then a firefight ensues, you are guilty of that person being dead, whether or not it's intentional or not.
I agree. My position on it from the beginning was he went to Kenosha saying that he was going to stop the violence. And he was going to stop the violence by using violence if he had to, because he brought the AR-15. When you bring that gun out, you damn well be ready to use it, because you've raised the stakes. So by saying, I'm going to stop the violence by I'm going to bring more violence, to me, that's the mindset he walked into this with. So it's not surprising that we end up with the result we ended up with.
By the way, nobody in the media is talking about how this kid, 17 years old, came to this point. Who radicalized this kid? How is it that this kid thought that this was the right thing for him? He's 17 freaking years old. It looks like he's 10, okay? How is it that this guy winds up there with this feeling that this is his duty? I keep looking at that video where he says, it's my job to protect this gas station. It's your job. Nobody was paying him to be there. He didn't have a job.
Nope.
There was some guy who owned a gas station. You know, gas stations, I don't want them burnt down. And I think if there's violence ensuing on this, every leader in this country, Democrat, Republican, Independent, you know, Black Lives Matter, whoever else, needs to be calling for the violence to stop.
I'm with you.
But gas stations can get replaced. Kyle Rittenhouse couldn't get replaced if he got killed, and those three people he killed cannot be replaced. So, you know, he's standing there saying, it's my job. Who put it in his head that it was his job to do any of this nonsense? Those people should be on trial too, in my opinion. And that's what drives me nuts. He's a 17-year-old kid, and he was radicalized by somebody.
I mean, that's the narrative I hear from a lot of my gun nut friends. What we have done in this country is we've fetishized the gun ownership and the want to use them. You know, I look at that kid, what was it, Idaho? Who was on the steps going, so when do we get to use the guns to go kill those people who steal our elections? I mean, this stuff is, it's permeated through the Republican rhetoric and through the messaging that they get.
Yeah, and the NRA has been making it seem like owning a gun, holding a gun was the only thing that made you a man in this country for the last, you know, 60 years. And unfortunately, this kid saw that, was exposed to it early in his life. And here we are. I mean, I've shot, I go out and do skeet shooting. I can't bring myself to kill a deer or anything like that, but I didn't mind going out and shooting skeet. It was fun, but give me a break. You know, holding a gun does not make you a man in this country. And the people who radicalized, the people who put that thought in his head that he had a job, a responsibility as American to protect a freaking gas station, it just drives me nuts.
In Kenosha, Wisconsin. Had he stayed at home, he wouldn't have had any of this problem. And the sad reality for this kid, no matter what happens to him here, whether you, as you believe, he's going to get a lesser charge, I seem to think he's going to probably walk. But we'll see how it plays out. He's still going to end up in civil court and be sued for everything he's probably ever
going
to have. He
doesn't have anything. He's not going to have anything. And I truly believe, and look, I'm a lawyer. I believe in justice. And I also believe that it is the duty of the court to protect the defendant. And I've been hearing a lot of our friends, you know, complaining about the judge. And yeah, you know, it does appear like he's been one-sided for the defendant, but the burden is on the prosecution. I grew up in an America where, and in a legal system where I believe that it was better for 100 guilty people to go free than for one innocent person to go to jail. And that was the way our justice system worked in this country. And I'm hearing from a lot of people on the left, they're concerned that the judge is being too strict on the prosecutors. No, when we want judges to be strict on prosecutors all the time.
I'm right there with you.
The prosecutor has the burden, and I got it. We saw a video of this kid. He turned himself in. He's admitted what he's done. But the burden is on the prosecution. And I'm a liberal, and I believe this to my core. So when I see this guy doing his thing, you know, look, do I think it's a little over the top? I think it's a little dramatic because the cameras are on him. But that's what a judge is supposed to do. You hold the prosecutor's feet to the fire, and you give the defense a little bit more wider berth, because that's the point of the judicial system in this country. Yeah. That's justice.
Yeah, my only criticism of the judge is he seems to be wanting to respond to the media. I don't think he needed to do the whole "I saw on CNN" retort.
Yeah.
That I got a problem with that.
He's got a lot of Lance Ito in him. That's you know, I'm surprised he hasn't brought up a bunch of clocks to put behind his things. Everybody asking about his freaking clocks. You and I are the only one who's getting that, because we're the only two listening.
All about that.
But it's, you know, where's his clock collection? I kept asking myself.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. But my fear is out of this comes a whole nother generation of Rittenhouse wannabes. Every protest we go to, we got to be looking over our shoulder to see which one's going to be copping off shots next. It's crazy times. But Chris, as always, I appreciate you taking some time, sharing some thoughts. Good stuff, man.
Rick, anytime. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much, Chris Hahn. Make sure you check out his podcast, The Aggressive Progressive. We'll get links out on social media how you can check that out. I was going to take a quick break right back after this. Stick around. You'll listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.